That's Nick Kershaw, Wouldn't It Be Good. That is a good tune. It's 20 to 9, it's Jack's Morning Glory. If you love the 80s, by the way, 80s Sunday here at Jack every Sunday, funnily enough. Right, let's talk more about this.
Two strangers and a wedding.
We've got six brides that have applied so far to see if we can play Cupid and ask the big question around our social experiment, is love really blind? And we're asking as many people as possible about advice, what they think about this. And you can join in the debate too, jackfm.co.uk, about two strangers.
Pippa Shea joins us this morning now. What's your official qualification? She says...
I'm a cleaner.
Excellent, you'll do.
I thought I needed a bit of sort out.
Barry, the real cleaner here. We've got to get him one morning too to ask him how he thinks about two strangers.
Definitely.
I don't even think Barry listens to the station.
Barry's been on our show many times. You may have heard him in the past. That's him in the background with a bin.
Brilliant. Yeah, my official title is that I'm a solution-focused psychotherapist, mm-hmm. and I use hypnotherapy, NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, lots of other stuff too. I work with couples, a lot to do with relationships, and people who are contemplating divorce, apart from sort of children and other people. Mm-hmm. You know, normal stuff going on, phobias and things. But a lot of relationships. And I do see couples, I'd say... Pretty much every week I'm seeing either a couple or somebody who's part of a couple and in great difficulty.
So with all of your experience then, what's your view on two strangers in a wedding?
Well, do you know what? I was thinking about this driving here, and even people who've gone through the normal courtship, the normal sort of, you know, getting to know each other and stuff like that, one in three marriages ends in divorce. So, hey, it could work. It really could work. And if people are going into this open-mindedly and ready to put behind any past stuff that they're carrying with them and learn afresh with somebody new and have help along the way as well to learn how to communicate properly, how to have a really, really fantastic relationship, then it may just work.
Experience in life, is that something that we should also look for in our brides and grooms too, that maybe people have been through a marriage before or been through a serious relationship, have maybe got the kids? Because experience counts for a lot, doesn't it?
It does, but also I think finding out why somebody's previous relationships ended, mm-hmm. if they will accept any responsibility for it themselves and what they've learned from it too. I mean, I've had few relationships in the past before this amazing one that I'm in, including a marriage, and looking back, before I knew all that I know now, I was a disaster in a lot of ways. Honestly, hands up. Seriously, you know, I did so much wrong, and no wonder there were so many problems in those relationships.
Okay, without having to necessarily pry too deeply, when you say I was a
disaster...
Pry. Yeah, let's pry. Pry.
Well, no names. No, because as you say there, you know, life experience does count for a lot. I mean, you must have fallen into a lot of the same traps and done a lot of the wrong things, in inverted commas.
Absolutely, big time, because the thing is that you don't learn at school how to have a relationship. Nobody teaches you. The only way that you learn is from, say, your parents, other role models, which is fine if those people are doing relationships really well. If they're not, mine weren't. I had no good role model, so I thought relationships were all about angst and, you know, problems and feeling unhappy all the time. I thought that was normal.
And so how did you? You're on our couch now. So how did you come round to being in this amazing relationship then?
A few things. The man that I've been with for 9 years now, Mark, and you've met Mark, who's absolutely gorgeous.
You lucked out there, to be fair.
He's what?
You lucked out there.
I did luck out there, yeah, really. So I'm hanging on to him. He's the most amazing person because he understands me very deeply, and one of his main things in life, I think, is to bring me joy, mm-hmm. and likewise with him. But also, sort of by the time that I'd met him and we were getting together, I was learning about relationships and what I do now as well. So I was seeing where I'd gone wrong in the past. All of the kind of pitfalls that I just thought were normal. That's how you did relationships. Things like there's a psychologist who works with relationships a lot called Dr. John Gottman, who says that there are four riders of the apocalypse that go ahead of a relationship that's heading to disaster. And these are things like criticism over complaint. I used to do that. I used to, you know, instead of saying...
Let me write this down because I'm taking this home.
Okay, make notes. Criticism over complaint is where you sort of criticise the whole person rather than their specific frantic action.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So say you've forgotten to put the rubbish out.
Oh, man, every Thursday night.
Yeah,
I'm getting
exactly.
it. I'm getting in the neck.
It. And instead of you...
That's heard out texting.
Yes, exactly.
She's now complaining. Yeah, I didn't put the dishwasher on last night. Man.
Useless. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's like you always forget. You never do this. You're useless. You're this, that, whatever. Rather than... I was really upset when you forgot to put the rubbish out when I'd asked you to.
Yeah, that cuts to the quick, yeah.
Absolutely, and you're then not criticising that whole person, just the individual action that they haven't done.
Yeah.
Another of the riders is defensiveness. Mm-hmm. Somebody says something and automatically it's kind of like arms folded, like, nope, I didn't. You fight back. It's like, and often you find that an argument comes out of that where you can't even remember what it was in the beginning you started arguing about.
You got a webcam in my camera in my house.
I'm using you as my example. and that happens so frequently. Contempt as well. Contempt is one of the real biggies in relationship downfalls, and I see and I hear it all the time. Even just out in the street or in restaurants, people talking to their partner as if they're a child, tutting, eye rolling, that sort of like putting them down in front of other people. Oh, he's so hopeless, or oh, she's lazy, or whatever it is. Treating that person as if you're in the superior position.
Yeah,
and I'm sure I used to do that as well. I used to wish one person in particular that I was with for a very long time. I used to wish he was different.
So you're trying to change him, and you hear that a lot, don't you? Are we trying to change me?
Yeah. But what right have we got to change anybody else apart from ourselves?
And what's the fourth one in the fourth riders of the Marshall household?
Is withdrawing or stonewalling. Right. And withdrawing...
withdrawing sex?
You can withdraw sex. That happens
quite
a lot.
Tick. Here we go.
Tick, yeah. Withdraw to the pub. Tick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're behind a newspaper. Women will more than men do this too. If you say to them, oh, what's wrong? Nothing. Yeah, they'll sort of like hold all of that. Nope, not telling you. Withdrawing completely that emotional. It's none of your business now. And stonewalling as well, when you're trying to say to somebody, like, you know, want to get a reaction from them, and there's just blank. And inside of them, actually, often their heartbeat is a lot higher. Mm. And inside they're going, when is she going to shut up? She's been going for 10 minutes now. Will she shut up soon? Yeah. It's that kind of thing as well. So those are the four main things, plus time travelling. If you time travel, things like, I remember 20 years ago when you flirted with Aunt Marmalade.
Oh, man.
And they're like, what?
Listen, we got to press on. I've got to find my wife.
You have.
Difference is that she's not saying 20 years ago. She's saying last week, yesterday.
Yeah. All right, well, it's really good hearing... especially those four things that I think a lot of people were listening to, going, yeah, that's happened in the past, that's happening now.
Yeah.
So these are the pitfalls we're looking out for in finding our two strangers on this journey that we hope will end in long live happily ever after.
Might just do.
If you were to give one piece of advice to anybody who is thinking about taking part in Two Strangers in a Wedding, what would that be?
I think it would be to be ready to... be open-minded and learn new things about how to have a relationship. You may well have had disastrous relationships in the past. That was the past. That's okay. And to respect the other person. That's two, isn't it?
No.
Can I do that?
And it all boils down to the communication, doesn't it? Because you get that, you're right. You get the four apocalypse things. Almost equals grunting and groaning. And I don't mean the grunting and groaning of a good way.
No.
It's like,
It's like, tutting and...
Yeah.
Oh,
if you could sum up a bad relationship in a single... You go, oh. It's like, oh. That's it, right there. Okay, all right. Well, it's good to talk to you. Thank you very much, Pippa.
Pleasure.
Any thoughts on Two Strangers and a Wedding? You can join in the debate, of course, at jackfm.co.uk. We have six brides so far. If you want to put yourself forward, then, of course, you can do. Have a look at what we're asking and what we're looking for. jackfm.co.uk. Nearly 10 to 9 at Jack.
Jack's Morning Glory with Alan Associates. Flexible solutions for every staffing need. For your every...